Chapter 10 Social Influence and Related Ideas. What is social influence? Social influence is a controlling process that society and its members use to control others. This process can be divided into three categories, which are conformity, compliance, and obedience to authority. Conformity is a tendency for people to align their actions voluntarily with the social groups that one belongs to. For example, following the style of dress of one's social group is conformity. Compliance are actions performed as a result of a request from another individual. An example of compliance is providing our friend with a $10 loan simply because he requested it. Obedience is obeying people and the institutions of society that are in a position of authority. An example is a student that does a homework assignment because his teacher ordered him to do so. A more sophisticated model of social psychological control, which I am calling the general model of social psychological control, is discussed in detail in the next heading. This model is somewhat wider in scope than the model of social influence presented above. It deals with most, if not all, of the controlling processes that society and its members use to control others. The general model of social psychological control: society and all its subgroups must have a way of controlling its members. And the individual must have a method of controlling people in his or her environment in order to survive. The infant would die in a short time if it did not have a method of controlling the people that care for it. Older children and adults also must control others to survive. The method of control, based on this model, involves 8 basic elements or components that can motivate or inhibit certain behaviors. The 8 elements usually work in combination to motivate an individual to control his or her behavior so that it complies with the needs of another person or the requirements of his social group. This will be discussed in more detail after the list of 8 elements components are presented, which are as follows. 1. Formal rules. This includes the law. Certain norms and values that are considered very important to a social group also come under this category. The written rules of an organization fit into this classification. Obedience to an authority figure based on formal rules is also an example that comes under this category. Some of the motivating dynamics behind this category can be a belief in the value of the rules. The individual might believe that following the rules is better for all concerned. However, a primary cause for compliance is we all learn to obey formal rules from childhood. The penalties for violating formal rules is placed in a separate category in this model. 2. Informal rules. Informal rules are regulations that are generally not written down in formal documentation. These rules develop as a result of the practical needs of the social group. Informal rules sometimes partially or totally contradict formal rules, which may not be perceived as practical by the group members. Very often people know informal rules intuitively, but might have a hard time describing them verbally. Obedience to an authority based on informal rules is also an example that comes under this category. Some of the motivating dynamics behind this category can be a belief in the value of the informal rules. However, a primary cause for compliance is we learn to obey formal rules in the socialization process. The individual might believe that following the informal rules is better for all concerned. The penalties for violating informal rules is placed in a separate category in this model. 3. Suggestion. Suggestion, as the term is used here, means an influence that is based on persuasion without an apparent reward, penalty, or rule used as a motivating force. That is, the individual just goes along with the situation or request without evaluation and without analysis. When suggestion is operating, the person does not use logical evaluation to assess the situation or any implied request. Essentially, the person behaves somewhat like a hypnotized subject. An extreme example of this is seen when someone cries at the movies over a fictional presentation. A less extreme example is seen when a person copies the fashion and behavior of his friendship groups without thinking about the reasons he is doing so. 4. General rewards. This is a general category in which all rewards are placed under, except for purely emotional rewards, which are in a separate category in this model. Rewards are used to compensate people for complying with a request. The most obvious example is the financial compensation for a job. Young children might be given a cookie if they behave themselves. Rewards are given in an exchange process also, such as giving money for a container of milk at the grocery store. Obtaining services of any type in an exchange process is also an example. In addition, rewards are obtained in the competition process of society, such as a successful competition for school grades, a job, a mate, etc. 5. General penalties. This includes any type of loss or partial or total destruction of a desired entity. The entity can be an object, a person, or ourselves. If we do not comply with certain requests, material items will be taken. For example, if we park our cars in a no parking zone, we may have to pay a fine. If we do not pay the monthly mortgage payments, the bank might take our house. If we do not comply with the law, the police might take our very bodies and place it in prison. The most extreme penalty in this category is the death penalty. 6. Emotional rewards. We sometimes do something because of the emotional pleasure we obtained from the action. This is used as a controlling mechanism. If we see that somebody is happy because we are complying with their request, we might be rewarded by their response. In addition, people also do things to win the acceptance or love of others, which is also an example of emotional rewards. Babies and young children use this element quite often. If the adult complies with the child's needs, the child will smile, laugh, or give similar indications of satisfaction, which can be adequate reinforcement to obtain the needed assistance. 7. Emotional penalties. If we do not do certain things, we may receive an emotional penalty, such as being embarrassed in public, made to feel guilty, annoyed with a hostile verbal response from an angry person, or have pain inflicted on us by an aggressive individual that demands his way, etc. Infants use this technique to control their parents. If they do not get their basic needs satisfied, they will cry, which serves as a natural adverse stimulus. When the infant's needs are satisfied, the adverse stimulus is terminated. 8. Empathy and the sympathetic understanding of needs. We can sometimes feel a person's needs. For example, if a person is hungry, we may feel discomfort over their situation. Thus, we may supply them with food and relieve their discomfort. This will also relieve our discomfort and concern over their hunger. In addition, if we understand the needs of a social group or an individual, we may be sympathetic and try to fulfill those needs. As already stated, the 8 components often, but not always, work in some type of combination to control behavior. For example, a person might not steal because it's illegal and he respects the law and formal rules. He does not want to risk going to prison. 5 general penalties. It would violate his self-concept of an honest man. 7 emotional penalties. He is sensitive to the needs and well-being of others. 8 empathy and the sympathetic understanding of needs. Another example is a person might go to work every morning because all of the following. He has children to support, 1 formal rules. He has a wife to support, 2 informal rules. He needs the money for general rewards. He knows that his wife might divorce him if he does not support her. 5 general penalties. He does not want to be penalized by the law for not supporting his children. 5 general penalties. He finds his work interesting, challenging, and enjoys it. 6 emotional rewards. He wants to take care of the needs of his wife and children and provide the highest level of financial support possible. 8 empathy and the sympathetic understanding of needs. Another example is why a person might conform to the norms and styles of his social group, which can be as follows. There usually are formal rules in a social group that relate to certain norms. People are taught to obey such rules from childhood. For example, a college student is expected to attend certain classes regularly. 1 formal rules. Certain norms and styles of dress are required by certain unwritten rules. We are also taught to obey such rules from the socialization process. For example, The college student is not supposed to embarrass the professor. Another example is style of dress. That is, there is an appropriate style for specific subgroups of college students within a university. Two informal rules. The social group has a strong suggestive influence on the individual, which facilitates conforming to norms and styles of dress. 3. Suggestion. General rewards may be offered by the social group for individuals that conform. An example is the college student that conforms to style and norms may have many friends. He may also win higher grades and enhanced acceptance of his professors. 4. General rewards. If the individual does not conform to formal and informal rules, penalties will be inflicted on him. For example, the college student will be expelled if he does not obey the formal rules. If he does not obey informal rules, he will probably not have many friends. 5. General penalties. By conforming to the norms and styles of the social group, the individual will probably be liked by many people in his group. He is more likely to receive friendly remarks and compliments from other people in the group. 6. Emotional rewards. If the individual does not conform to the norms and styles of his social group, he will most likely receive hostile criticism. He will most likely find himself experiencing much rejection and loneliness. 7. Emotional penalties. The Bertram-Raven model of social influence. The Bertram-Raven model is more or less similar to the above, general model of social psychological control, which will be abbreviated as G model, except the Raven model deals more from the perspective of an individual with social power controlling another. The G model deals with control from a more general perspective, such as an infant controlling its parents, a more powerful person controlling a less powerful individual, and the group controlling the individual and vice versa. In addition, the Bertram-Raven model components are not as fundamental. That is, it may take several of the fundamental components of the general model of social psychological control to represent one component on the Bertram-Raven model. The Bertram-Raven model is presented below, with equivalent elements from the G model, which shows some of the relationship between the two models. The words in quotation marks were taken from Social Psychology 8th edition 1994, by Taylor, Peplau, and Sayers, and the model is as follows. 1. Reward definition. Power based on providing or promising a positive outcome. Example given is, if you brush your teeth every night this week, I'll take you to the movies on Saturday. Equivalent element from G model is 4. General rewards. 2. Coercion definition. Power based on providing or promising a negative outcome. Example given is, if you don't brush your teeth, you can't play Nintendo. Equivalent element from G model is 5. General penalties. 3. Expertise definition. Power based on special knowledge or ability. Example given is, the dentist told you to brush twice a day, and he knows best. Equivalent elements from G model is 3. Suggestion. Also 2. Informal rules, because it is the custom to follow the advice of experts and other knowledgeable people. 4. Information definition. Power based on the persuasive content of the message. Example given is, if you don't brush your teeth, you'll get cavities that will hurt, and the dentist will have to drill holes in your teeth to fill the cavities. Equivalent elements from G model is 3. Suggestion. Also 5. General penalties, because a very undesirable result is predicted. 7. Emotional penalties are also involved, which involves the future pain of the dentist drilling into the teeth. The individual might sense some of this pain in the present, which might motivate him to brush his teeth to avoid the real pain at a later point in time. 5. Referent power definition. Power based on identifying with or wanting to be like another person or group. Example given is, your big brother Stan always brushes twice a day. Equivalent elements from G model is 3. Suggestion, and 2. Informal rules could be involved also. It is very often an informal rule to follow the ways of a more experienced, knowledgeable, or more mature person, who is more or less similar to ourselves. 6. Legitimate authority definition. Power based on the influencer's right or authority to make a request. Example given is, I'm your mother and I'm telling you to brush your teeth now. Equivalent elements from D model is 1 formal rules, 2 informal rules. There are both formal and informal rules of obedience to a parent. In addition, the child appears to be receiving a scolding, which is a 7 emotional penalties. What is the Milgram experiment? The Milgram experiment is a classic in social psychological research, which was performed in the 1960s by Stanley Milgram. The experiment basically encouraged people based on orders from an authority figure to press buttons on an electronic device that was supposedly giving painful electric shocks to a subject that was strapped to a chair. The shock machine was not really functional and the subject was an actor, a confederate of the experimenter, pretending to be in pain when the buttons were pressed. The idea of the experiment was to see to what extent people will obey orders from an authority figure. There were 40 real subjects, which were recruited from newspaper ads. These subjects were given a logical but false rationalization for the experiment. They were told that the experiment was to test the effects of punishment on learning. They were also told that the electric shocks that they were supposedly inflicting by pressing the buttons on the shock machine would do no permanent damage. However, the actor, the confederate that was supposedly receiving the shocks, falsely indicated that he had a mild heart condition. Each of the 40 subjects were given a sample electric shock, which was real and painful. The subjects were told that the shock they received was a relatively mild shock, suggesting that the higher settings on the shock machine would be much more painful. The idea was to give them a false sense of how painful the shocks that they were to give to the confederate, the phony subject, can be. Of course, the actual shocks the subjects gave were not real or painful. The phony shock machine had voltages ranging from 15 to 450 volts, with words indicating the severity of the shock. The voltage range from 0 to 240 had the words "slight through very strong shock from 255 to 300 volts. The words were "intense shock" for 375 to 420 volts. The words were "danger severe shock" for 435 to 450 volts. There were no words, just 30. The idea was to see how far the real subjects would go in their compliance with the orders of an authority figure. The authority figure, the experimenter, gave the subjects encouraging words to continue giving the subject higher and higher shocks, words such as "please continue," "the experiment must go on," "it is necessary for you to continue." The experimenter explained to the subjects that he was taking all the responsibility for the experiment. Under these conditions, 100% of the subjects gave shocks to the 240 volt level. 88% gave shocks to 300 volt level. 68% gave shocks to the 360 volt level. 65% gave shocks to the 420 volt level, and 65% also gave shocks to the 450 volts, which was the maximum on the phony device. Under the above conditions, the phony subject, the actor, was supposedly in another room, and the subjects could hear him groaning and screaming in agony as the phony shocks became more severe. Actually, a tape recording was used to be certain that all 40 subjects received the same level of moaning, groaning, and screaming. This experiment was repeated under slightly different conditions. These conditions involve the confederate, strapped to a chair that was right next to the real subject. The real subject was instructed to physically take the hand of the confederate and place it on an electrode that was supposedly connected to an electric power supply. When this was done, the actor behaved as if he was suffering painful electric shocks. Under the modified conditions, obedience to authority was less than under the first set of conditions, but many subjects obeyed orders and continued to give shocks to the confederate until the bitter end. The ethics of the Milgram experiment: while the subjects were performing the actions required for the experiment, they experienced great anxiety and conflict. They were under a considerable amount of emotional stress. Some people criticized the Milgram experiment, after the work was published, because of the emotional stress that was inflicted on the subjects. Question: were the procedures used in the experiment justified and ethical? I believe the value of the experiment justified the stress, which was really quite mild compared to many real-life situations, and had no long-lasting effects on the subjects. In real-life situations, people might suffer more over school examinations. Perhaps a much more relevant comparison is the situation people face in times of war. They are ordered to kill the enemy and risk their limbs and life, which is far more emotionally stressful than the Milgram experiment. Thus, I believe the experiment was ethical and justified. The value of the Milgram experiment. The great value of the Milgram experiment is not its scientific value, in my opinion. It did not duplicate the real situations people face when they are ordered to severely harm or kill other human beings, such as in war. Much more precise and scientifically useful data could have been obtained by examining the history of wars in our century. Interviewing the Germans, Japanese, and Americans that engaged in World War II would provide more information. The Germans were not only ordered to fight a war, some were also ordered to execute innocent civilians, such as the Jews and Gypsies. A number of American scientists, technicians, and military personnel worked together to create two atomic bombs, which were dropped on Japanese civilians. These scientists and military personnel were aware that innocent children, women, and men would be burned alive, and others would die a slow, agonizing death from radiation poisoning. This obviously did not stop them. They were ordered to kill, and so they killed. Another important difference between reality and the Milgram experiment is the fact that disobeying an authority figure in a real-life situation can result in serious sanctions. Disobeying orders to fight in a war can result in a long prison sentence. Disobeying the boss in the workplace can result in unemployment. Disobeying the experimenter in the Milgram experiment had little real or imaginary consequences. The subject may have believed that he ruined an experiment, which certainly does not compare with a real-life situation of going to prison for several years or losing a job. Thus, in real-life situations we not only obey orders, we are forced to follow orders by the use of severe penalties. Then what is the value of the Milgram experiment? The value of the experiment is the psychological insight that it provided, in my opinion. It makes us see how foolish and destructive blindly obeying orders can sometimes be. It is difficult to see this destructive foolishness in war, because there is always psychological rationalizations created to justify the destructive military actions.